Well, no doubt you've seen the fog this week. You've felt the cold. You've seen the bare trees. You've probably felt the benefit of having the heating on here this morning. The extra layers of clothes are going on. The days are darker. Why is this? Because it's winter. Most people can tell that. It's not that hard to figure out. In chapter 12 of Luke's Gospel, Jesus tells a crowd of people that they are good at reading the signs of the weather, When they see a cloud coming from the west, which is over the Mediterranean Sea, they know that it's going to rain. When they feel a wind coming from the south, where the desert is, they know it's going to be hot. A little bit like when we hear that there's going to be a northerly wind, we know that that will be hot. But then he gets stuck into them, and he says they're good at interpreting the weather, but they're not good at interpreting this present time. He says in verse 56, they are hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Now, what does he mean? A hypocrite originally meant an actor, someone who had a mask on in order to play a role. And when he calls them hypocrites, he's saying, in effect, they are acting. They are crowding around him as if they are really interested in who he is and what he is saying. But in their hearts, deep down, he's saying to them, you're just playing a game. You're just putting on a mask. You're not actually that serious about who I am. And he says, in effect, they're playing religious games. You can tell when it will rain, but you can't tell what is actually happening right in front of you. You refuse to see the truth that is in front of your eyes. Now, what Jesus is getting at is that the crowd refuses to see who he is. They want him to do miracles for them, they want him to do miracles for them. And they even want him to kick out the Romans and bring in peace. That's why they're crowding around, just to see if he will do the sorts of things they want him to do. But he wants them to see who he is. He is their Lord and Saviour, the one who challenges every human being to follow. They can tell when it's going to rain, but they can't tell that the most important person in all of human history is right there in front of them. They seem blind to that. They think and talk more about the weather than their eternal destiny. And he says to them in a sort of Australian colloquialism, get real, you hypocrites. Stop playing games. Now, Jesus is demanding they look at him and see who he is. He's demanding they consider the eternal issues and not just the ephemeral issues. Could Jesus be saying something similar today? Every person here needs to make a decision about Jesus. Many of you already have. Jesus calls people to see him for who he really is. He doesn't want us to waste our time on ephemeral things and miss the most important thing that's right in front of us, which is who he is. And what he wants is, once we get it right who Jesus is, then we will get right with God. And he doesn't want us to miss out on that. He doesn't want us to waste our lives, and he certainly doesn't want us playing religious games. Now, many of you here today are good at making all sorts of decisions. Some of you do this minute by minute in your workplaces. You have to work so hard, you are deciding things every minute. Some of you do that so competently at home, you are making decisions all the time. It's exhausting, isn't it? But Jesus says here, will you make the most important decision to put your faith in him and get right with God? And that is the challenge that Jesus puts to people today. He was challenging people then, those people who were crowding around him, and he still challenges people today. Otherwise, you might just be playing a game. John Flanner is 55 years of age. He's married with 4 children and 9 grandchildren and is a word processing operator. John said, "I used to think a Christian was someone who'd been christened as a baby and did nobody any harm. And that's how I tried to live my life. One day my typing teacher said to me, 'Well, John, are you a Christian or aren't you?' And I said, 'I think I am.' She said, 'You don't sound very certain.' And I found that question going through my mind later that night, and I couldn't sleep. I was really worried. I thought, am I a Christian? Does it really matter if I'm a Christian? What if I'm not? Will I go to heaven? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? What will happen when I die?' And all these questions started going around inside my head. John Flanner eventually became a Christian. He put his life right with God. And he concludes, "Whereas before I used to worry, what will people think about me? Now all that matters is, what does Jesus think about me?" Let's move to the second part of this reading, verses 57 to 59. How many of you have ever been to court? Many of us have been to court, and it's an expensive business, isn't it? I looked up on a government website during the week just to get an idea of court costs. I won't bore you with all the details because it went on and on and on, but it costs thousands of dollars to get legal representation, to do the paperwork, and then to go to court. Some of you here this morning, I know, work in this profession. And the longer you're in court, the more it costs. And there is no certainty that you will win. It costs you a lot, not just in money, but in time and also emotions. And at the end of it, you could find that the decision goes against you and you end up having to pay quite expensive damages. Jesus uses the experience of a court case to illustrate an important truth. At verse 57, he says this, "Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you're going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny." Now, the point of the story or the illustration is quite simple. It's better to settle out of court. That's Jesus' point. Rather than see the case all the way through to the end when you might receive a negative judgment and end up having to pay very dearly. And Jesus says, isn't it better to be reconciled along the way? What does he mean by this? Again, following on from what I've just said about the previous verses, he's talking about eternal matters, about spiritual matters. And he's describing what it might be like for any human being who decides to take God to court and stand and try and argue your case before God. He's talking about the judgment day, the final day. And because God can rightly charge us with all sorts of failings, we are at risk of being condemned at the final judgment. You may want to argue with God that you're not that bad. You're not that bad a person. You may want to take the risk of disputing your innocence. You may want to argue with God that you are not that bad, that you are innocent. And when God puts his spotlight on you, if you wait till the last day, you might find, in fact, you are more guilty than you realize, and the decision will go against you. And you may then get a punishment that is too terrible to contemplate. Now, Jesus says there is an alternative to this. He says, be reconciled on the way. Don't wait. Get right with God now. Don't leave it till it's too late. He says, you are intelligent people. You are intelligent people. You can judge what is right. You know how to judge what is right and wrong. Well, judge for yourself. Isn't it better to settle out of court? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? He's saying, use your God-given intelligence. Isn't it better to be reconciled on the way rather than wait to the final judgment? And the great news is that Jesus offers that to people. He doesn't want them to remain at odds with God. He wants us to be reconciled with God on the way, while we're alive. He doesn't want us to find out that it's all been too late when we die. Even though God has every right to punish us for our imperfection, our weakness, and what the Bible calls sin, he says, I don't want to punish you. I want to be friends with you. I want to be reconciled with you sooner rather than later. Why not today? Why stay at odds with one another when we could be friends? Let's not wait. Let's not put it off. Let's get serious and get our lives right with God. Tim Coleman is 22. He's engaged to be married. And he says this, about the age of 13 or 14, I was going into the park and drinking and experimenting with drugs and stuff. I'm reading literally here. This is his quote. That became my focus. But I started thinking about God a lot more and what life was about. I started going a lot more to a church and to youth meetings and stuff. I had a lot of really good friends around me, and they chatted to me and really supported me. He goes on to say that through them, he became a Christian. Now I know where I'm going. I know that I'm going to be in heaven. I don't know what's going to happen on the way. I don't really know what job I'm going to do or anything, but I know that I am secure now, and I know that God knows that. Lois Small is 40. She's married with three children aged 8 to 14 and works as a remedial massage therapist. Lois says this, to anyone looking in at me from the outside, you know, I'm quite a confident person. But actually, the truth of it was that underneath it was crummy, and I had a feeling of sort of real hopelessness. Like, well, is this it? That's when I found myself really weeping. Desperately, more than anything, I needed forgiveness. Lois experienced the forgiveness when she put her faith in Jesus, and she says, Jesus said, I told you not to worry about your life. Only people who don't know God are always worrying. I used to have great worries about my children, and I really just put them in God's hands now. So the question for anyone here today is, how can you be reconciled with God? How can you be once and for all at peace with God? And I want to finish by telling you how to do that. It's quite simple, really. I'm just going to explain three things and a little prayer. First of all, you need to say sorry to God for the things you know that have offended him, the things that would get you condemned if you went to court. And you need to turn away from those things. This is what the Bible calls repentance, and Jesus will talk about this in the next passage in Luke 13. That's the first thing, to say sorry to God. Secondly, you need to say thank you to Jesus for dying on the cross. Because Jesus died on the cross, your sins, that is everything that is offensive to God in you, that is all dealt with. You can be forgiven because of the cross. You can be reconciled to God because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And you can start a relationship with God today because of what Jesus has done for you. So that's the second thing. First, to say sorry. Second, to say thank you. And then thirdly, if you've got that far, you need to then start living it out. You've turned away from old habits, you've turned towards Jesus, and you need to ask Jesus to be the boss in your life and let him direct what you do and how you think. Now, I know many of you here have done this, For many of you, today's sermon is a reminder, a refresher, an encouragement of what you already do, what you already are doing, what you already believe. But for some of you here this morning, you are at risk of playing religious games. You are here with a mask on. You need to hear Jesus saying, "Hypocrite." And you need to also hear him saying, "Be reconciled on the way." So he is confronting you, but he's also inviting you. And he's saying, don't wait. Don't waste your time thinking about the weather when there are much more important things to think about. That is how to get right with God. And you can do that today by turning away from what is not godly, by saying thank you for what Jesus has done on the cross, and then living it out. Now I'm going to say a little prayer which will take no longer than about 30 seconds to pray this prayer, which picks up those three things. If you're here this morning and this is the first time you've prayed something like this, then by the end of this prayer you will be reconciled with God. If you'd like to talk to me at the end of the service or over a game of tennis or a snag or playing indoor bowls, please come and talk to me. If you don't want to talk to me at the moment, but you might have come with someone this morning, you might like to tell them. It's good to confirm that you're reconciled with God by owning up to it and letting people know. There are parties in heaven when people are reconciled to God. The angels will be dancing and singing when someone comes back to God. So would everyone please close your eyes, and I'm going to pray. Those of you who are already Christians, would you please have in your mind anyone you know who isn't a Christian and maybe pray for them while I'm praying here. There are many of you here this morning who are involved with Alpha. There might be people on the Alpha course you'd like to pray for. There are men coming next week who might not be certain about their state with God. You might like to pray for them. I'll pray this prayer slowly. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry I have been living life my own way. Thank you for dying on the cross to deal with every barrier I have put up between you and me. Please come and direct my life from now on. Thank you. Amen.